Good afternoon, everybody. Today is August 13th, 2024. Is today the day Brandon Ayuk officially becomes a Pittsburgh Steeler?
For the love of God, I hope something happens.
This is also, as you can tell from the tone of his voice, this is something that Malzi privately is describing as, quote, the death of Malzi.
All this for Brandon Ayuk.
Cause of death, Brandon Ayuk rumors.
Wide receiver 18 in
the
NFL.
Like the Oregon Trail.
Malzi has tried to ford the Ayuk River and has drowned. Malzi has died of dissin Ayuk.
Do you think that this has taken weeks off your life? Your life expectancy before the Ayuk stuff started?
Probably.
Was like 78 years and
That's
9 months.
I hope I get more than 78 years.
And now you're down to 78 years and maybe 6 months? He's taken 3 months away?
He might have. All of this might have. It's made me actually feel like I'm getting sick.
Well, you are sick today.
I think it's Ayuk's fault.
You have the Ayuk flu.
Yes. Yeah, the Brandon Ayuk news cycle.
You have the Ayuk bird flu.
Has had a deleterious effect on my health.
Has it given you the runs?
No. No, I have not had the drizzling you-know-whats because of this.
Ian Rappaport, there is a deal. It just comes down to San Francisco giving the final sign-off. What did I say yesterday?
There's a deal. There's somebody in San Francisco who has the power to say no to this deal.
Who's at the very, very top.
It. Who's their owner.
I yes.
don't know why. Were we trying to like not say Jed York's name or something?
I don't know because I think it's York, but I don't know exactly how their ownership structure works there.
Okay. But it's de facto owner, whoever it is saying not so fast, my friend.
San Francisco has an offer out to Ayuk on a long-term deal for him to stay. He hasn't accepted. Okay, is that semantical? Does that mean he's declined? Or does that mean he's just leaving them in limbo and not answering them? He's leaving the 49ers on red.
Great question.
Because the Garofolo clip we just played made it sound like they made another offer and it still wasn't good enough. And this goes back to something that has really popped up in the last few days. The taxes and the difference between what a $28.5 million contract looks like in Pittsburgh compared to what it does in San Francisco.
Well, we buys actually, you a lot more pierogies here.
We actually have one up on the Bay Area here. They're saying the cost of living calculators have been taken out.
Oh,
over
yes,
this, Chris.
Those cost of living, that CNN money index.
Have you seen those,
thing.
Donnie? The cost of living calculators are out and about?
I mean, they do say San Francisco, the hardest place, the most expensive place to live in America. So, I mean, who
Steve
might
Kerr
argue?
Steve Kerr, making millions as the Warriors head coach, only has like a 4,000 square foot house
and
that cost him $7.5 million.
Has been brought up by some Steelers fans.
Poop.
Everywhere in San Francisco.
Just fecal matter.
Just tons of poop.
How many of these Steelers fans have been to San Francisco?
That's a good question. I've only been once.
Never been.
And that was when I was there with Bruce Gradkowski and his dad at a very fancy restaurant, and his dad asked for ice in his wine. In wine country, no
White
less.
Wine or red wine?
Red.
Red wine with ice. The white wine with ice is a lot more
acceptable.
It was
a $300 bottle of wine.
Did he not even want to try it without the ice just to get
no,
a taste
just,
of it?
I like it with ice. And he went through his whole thing, spiel with the waitress. Like, look,
but it fundamentally changes the character of what you're drinking, much like a scotch.
Yeah,
like,
but
you
guess
put
what?
Ice in it, it's going to leach off water and it's going to taste different.
I loved it.
Oh, I'm
because
not...
he was being his authentic self.
And you respect a lot of that.
Yeah.
That
just
that
because
whole thing.
It's frowned upon by society, it's not hurting anybody.
What's something
do
you do
thing.
That's harmless to society? Actually, I know what that thing is, that's you being your authentic self. Totally harmless. You are an absolute psychotic freak. Mm. You take a whole apple here with peanut butter. Instead of cutting it in advance with a knife at your house, you don't like that oxidizes and gets a little brown on the skin, even if sealed up. You rip off a chunk of the apple, as you did in the back, take it out of your mouth, scoop out peanut butter, place it back in your mouth, and eat the apple that way.
Yeah. I do.
What I think that's actually worse than ice and wine, for the record.
You know who I think if when Ayuk says that offer still isn't good enough and he gets traded to the Steelers, we'll go through the who do we give credit for all this. Omar Khan for staying on it.
I'm not
Mike
sure if
Tomlin.
I'm going to be giving credit to anybody
well,
for this.
Well, okay, you won't. You'll say this is like the day Steelers will rue this day forever. Because they'd be better off with Deontay Johnson, who Mike Tomlin thinks no, is radioactive.
They'd have just been better off trying to figure out
with
some
Van
other
Jefferson,
option.
Whose no, career high was 46 yards. Yes, but Terry McLaurin was not available, Chris. That would be like saying, you know, the Pirates really should have gone out and signed Shohei Ohtani. That would have just done wonders for this baseball team. Let's get back to the real world here. I think there will be con credit given to those who like the Aiyuk deal. Obviously, Mike Tomlin, because all Aiyuk has said from the very beginning is how badly he wants to play for Tomlin. He didn't grow up a Steelers fan. It's about wanting to play for this coach. But you know who I think we have to give a big hat tip to? Trent Williams. The fact that they have another great player who is holding out and really wants the money, and the coach and the GM there are like, we can't prioritize Aiyuk over the left tackle, even if our boss, the guy that puts his name on the checks, is trying to make us do that. Because I think in the end, that's what's if Brandon Aiyuk becomes a Steeler, I think what will pave the way for that is the embarrassment of riches that they have and the fact that some of these other guys are either up for contracts next year or, in Williams' case, is creating a very real problem for them right now. If Williams was fat as a cat and fine with his contract, then maybe they splurge and say, I will worry about things later. Give Aiyuk his 29 or 30. What's the cost of living difference? $35 million? Fine, give it to him. But they can't. So,
Want to see if we can trade for Trent Williams, or would Dan Moore still be blocking him at left tackle?
Remember when the 49ers coaches were told to watch Dan Moore tape?
So they could see how not to play the position?
What's the worst horror movie you can think of off the top of your head?
The worst one? Like, just terrible?
Leprechaun popped into mind.
Troll 2. They're going to eat them, and then they're going to eat me. Oh, my God.
Leprechaun in the Hood.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
I watched that a couple years ago. Man, what a ride that was for 90 minutes.
Troll 2 is really bad.
I think that's what watching Dan Moore tape is like.
Do you think this is going to happen? Is that reason this is bothering me is not even the fact that I think Aiyuk's overrated or anything else. It's that it really has been in a holding pattern, and none of what Rappaport just reported was any different than anything you said yesterday. You have had, I think, the story pretty much correct, other than saying it was on the goal line. As somebody pointed out in the mentions, you didn't specify which goal line. But this has been in limbo. Pony, just let me finish.
I will.
This has been in limbo longer than I can remember any trade involving anybody in the NFL, let alone a Steelers-centric trade.
I think that when a GM and GM are dealing with each other and they feel like they have a deal done, when they say, we have a deal, you think there's a deal. But you remember that there's somebody that they have to answer to and say, hey, we're ready to do this. Can I just get your final sign-off on it? And I think the people I talked to, what they underestimated was the way that the person at the very top in San Francisco was going to react to that, was going to react to what they were getting back in the deal, and thinking about his feelings towards Aiyuk and also how important Aiyuk might be to him as far as winning a championship goes. Clearly, the football people there, we have ample evidence that the football people in San Francisco were ready to wash their hands of this guy. We're preparing for life without Aiyuk. They drafted a wide receiver in the first round. Mm-hmm. They gave Jennings the money.
Mm-hmm. They've just brought in Robbie Chosen Anderson, who once upon a time was a pretty good player.
I mean, they've done things that
suggest that they are battening down the hatches for post-Aiyuk life.
Well, you know what it is? It's what you say about him. They're acting like a team that deems this player somewhat disposable. They're football people do.
If they felt like he was irreplaceable, they wouldn't feel like drafting a wide receiver in the first round and inking Juwan Jennings and bringing in a guy off the NFL scrap heap was a good enough replacement plan.
And I just think, like, the person at the very top has gotten involved and has put, you know, new parameters or new, well, if we get rid of him, guys, the only way I'll let you get rid of him is if you get a third team involved. Or the only way I'll let you get rid of him is if you get a wide receiver back. And I don't know, like, those are not really things that ever happen in August, a month before a football season starts, Chris. And I think the GM there and the coach were aware of that, but the person who signs the checks wasn't. At the end of the day, that's why I'm saying, are you asking me if this happens?
Yeah.
I still say yes, but how can I predict how a billionaire might just make a rational decision where he says, I don't care what you guys are telling me. Do what we need to do to get this guy locked up, and then we'll worry about everything else later. I can't at this point. I can't tell you that that's not on the table. But I tell you what does seem like it's, you know, what we've seen from this in terms of Ayuk's behavior. It doesn't seem like he's willing to bend and give the San Francisco 49ers any kind of hometown discount on this. Like, his feelings have softened. Like, you know what? I really do want to play for you guys. I guess I will take less money to make that happen.
I mean, what's to say that if they meet his cost of living, perhaps, requirements?
Well, the calculator says it needs to get all the way up to $46 million for that to happen.
That's how much cheaper it is to live here
that
than there?
That $28 million in Pittsburgh is $46 million in San Francisco.
Whew. $46 million.
What are they charging people for there?
Rent,
what
is, primarily.
Rent?
A lot of tech bros out there driving up those rents.
Water more expensive?
I don't know. It's California. Land of plenty, I thought. You got the Sierra Nevadas in there.
The Pacific Ocean right there.
That you can't use that for water.
We haven't figured out a way to
get the salt out. Oh, no. They have desalination plants. Very expensive, though, to drive that cost of living up even higher. Man, you thought it was bad before.
Dottie, do you think it's going to happen? Where are you on it right now?
I actually do think it'll eventually happen, that he will be a Steeler.
Eventually, though. Back to that word, that dreaded word for Malzi, where it's August 20th and we come back in here. Guys, there's more Ayuk.
No, it'll be Rappaport, latest on Ayuk. And then he'll just copy and paste his report from today and act if any, you know, hey, did you notice it was same report?
We really have no idea when it will actually end.
We played the audio yesterday, but I didn't actually go back and watch the video of it until today. Like, Schefter just having to talk about this on McAfee show. Like,
he
it's
looks
also,
like a man whose soul is being crushed.
He looks like a president who's in the second term, who's aged, just covering this.
I mean, that's how I feel. And I'm not even the one who's all sourced up locally who's getting all this stuff. I'm mainly reacting
and you know
to
what?
You.
You know what the incredible thing about all that is?
It's giving you life.
I feel great.
Oh, I know. You're invigorated by this. You've got an endless appetite for scuttlebutt. This is the scuttlebutt story of the year, and there isn't a better person to cover it.
From what I was told, the player hasn't really been easy to work with in terms of what he wants, which I don't think is breaking news there, right? Because he seems to be a little bit all over the place. I want to be in San Francisco. I really want to play here. But no, I actually want to play for Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh. So you have the player part of this. Then you have the San Francisco 49ers. If they were going to deal Brandon Ayuk, why would they not do this around the draft? Why would they not do this earlier? Now they're in a position, they're just a few weeks out. They've got injuries on their team. They're so injured, they're canceling joint practices with the Saints because they don't have enough guys to field at this point, right? So it's been a really, really tough summer for this 49ers team. And when you talk about distractions, not only do we have Ayuk, we also have Trent Williams who's holding out, okay?
Diana Russini on her Athletic podcast, Ayuk tough to deal with, work with. I think he has a lower opinion of his employer there now, based on the way they've treated him and allowed for him to twist in the wind. I mean, money solves everything if they get to the number that he wants, I suppose. But I know I put myself in his shoes. Wouldn't you be pissed if other guys started getting contracts, like another wide receiver in Christian McCaffrey? If the Steelers started giving out extensions this summer and it was to guys that Cam Hayward deemed lesser players, I don't think that would sit well with him.
You think Cam might have looked at free agent signings like Patrick Queen and thought he's a slightly lesser player than me?
Well, but I think at that point, do you think that back then, Hayward was thinking to himself, like, they need to, when free agency starts, sign me first?
Hard to say. I mean, the whole Cam thing has been kind of unusual in and of itself because he's at an uncharted age and wants, it sounds like uncharted money for his age.
But when you think you're an elite of the elite player.
If I were Ayuk, I would think, I'm not a product of your system. Your system is a product, among other things, of me.
Yep.
And they're not looking at him like that. They think Trent Williams and Christian McCaffrey, and eventually, if he has another good season, Brock Purdy, are the guys who are much more indispensable and that they can churn through wide receivers. So there's a part of me that wonders, even if they got very close to Brandon Ayuk's preferred number, if he might still, out of spite, say no, thanks, but no thanks. One thing's for sure. If he comes here, he better have 2,000 yards this year. He better be the greatest receiver of all time, because the amount of energy and hype that has gone into, not even hype, but attention that has been paid to this idea of him getting traded, he better come in here and kick ass immediately, every game, or else I will be leading the charge saying, what the hell was the fuss about with this guy? As I am saying right now. I mean, the way he is getting, this is all playing out. It's like Jerry Rice in his prime
I'd sign up for exactly what he did last year in San Francisco.
He's not going to do that if he's here. I would feel very good about saying he's not going to do that if he's here. Not as good of an offense. It's not as good of a quarterback.
Well, but wait a minute, though. You've been on the Russell Wilson's better than people think, and he's going to have a good year.
Still not the Niners' offense. There's a big gap and a wide gulf between Russell Wilson's better than people think and you're the 49ers of last year.
So then what would you predict his numbers to be in this
offense? He'll have like 1,100. He'll probably have between 1,000 and 1,100 yards. 6 touchdowns, 7 touchdowns maybe. He's never topped, what, more than 8, I think, out there?
He had 8 2 years ago, or last, in 2022, he had 8.
And then 7 last year.
Yeah. So if he has 1,107,
is that a $28 million a year receiver? I would say no, because we've seen Deontay before in his career put up that kind of money.
You got that kind of number. You're hung up on Deontay, man.
I feel like
I don't
this,
get it.
Here's why.
The guy was an all-time a-hole who ran backwards and dropped balls.
I wanted them to move on and go in a different direction with a guy who was apparently unavailable in McLaurin.
Well, yes. So then why are you also stuck on a player who was unavailable?
Because I think if they had not tried to do the Deontay trade and waited and kept him around and then had him available in this trade, maybe it would already be done and I wouldn't have to be hearing about this trade being stuck in neutral on the goal line for an eternity. When I say it's also, too, just good roster management. If I think that the guy is going to put up comparable numbers to what Johnson put up, then why would I be happy that the Steelers are prepared to pay him 10 or so million more per year to do exactly that? Why would that make me a Steelers fan happy?
I what evidence do we have that Johnson can put up the same numbers as Ayuk? Did he do it last year?
With Kenny Pickett thrown to him, Jesus himself couldn't have put up numbers like what Ayuk
did
last year.
Did he do it with Rudolph?
Year. He was not Rudolph's A1 target, I'll admit that. He had a 75-yard touchdown catch with him?
Yeah, the Baltimore game.
I mean, Pickens was the guy who benefited from real quarterback play. I have reservations about this offense getting two receivers the ball in a high-volume way. I have reservations about taking Brandon Ayuk out of the San Francisco cocoon and what he would then become in a non-San Francisco or non-Rams or non-elite offense where the scheme is two-thirds of the battle. I have a lot of reservations.
My thing, though, is if you think Russell Wilson is going to be good with Van Jefferson as his second option, I don't understand how you wouldn't elevate him to much better than that when
it would be an obvious upgrade over Van Jefferson.
It's like going from the 69th best receiver. That money actually might be charitable. It's like going from the 75th best receiver in the NFL to the guy you called the 18th.
Yeah.
And so if a quarterback is good with that guy being his second option,
yeah,
as
you would
receiver,
hope he'd be a lot better.
This is from at 49ers Sports Talk on Twitter.
Oh, I haven't checked in on at 49ers Sports Talk in a while.
Kyle Shanahan and Brandon Ayuk had more than one heated exchange during conversations over the last few weeks. Is it still repairable?
Isn't it reparable?
Well, money talks, a source said.
Or will BS walk? Source did not say that.
33,000 followers, followed by Robert Griffin III and Jordan Schultz.
Who doesn't Jordan Schultz follow?
He follows Donnie. He sends Donnie direct messages about
I don't think
deals.
He follows me, though, but he does DM me.
How does he
me.
Get into your DMs?
Donnie's DMs are open because, like any good news gatherer, he just wants people to hit him up if they need to.
So who, like, do you have people that just get in your DMs and say, hey, man, great show tonight?
No, not really. No. But, I mean, they're...
They could if they wanted to.
Yeah. The invitation's there, people.
Zach Gelb. From Infinity Sports Network.
Hello, Zach.
Just let this story have an ending already. Enough!
Yeah, I actually agree with Zach. I do. Am I a wet blanket? Am I curbing your Ayuk enthusiasm?
No,
here?
Because you've been... if you're... The only part of it that brings me down is the fact that you think this is a bad move.
I just don't think it's a great move. I mean, I think it makes their offense
better. The fact that you're
better,
frustrated that it's taking so much time and there's twists and turns and you just keep getting teased by a player that you don't think is great, I understand that part of it for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's my main point. I'm not gonna sit here like an idiot and argue that he is not an upgrade over Van Jefferson. He is, but you always have to take cost into account. And if he's going to cost them the money that it appears he will, if and when this gets done, then I'm going to choose to be not over the moon about it.
Josina Anderson, my understanding is the Steelers believe an agreement is currently complete on their end.
Honest, so that's my favorite
and
part of all this.
It has been for an unspecified period of time.
Which,
which backs
what you have... And one thing I've tried to do is give you credit, because I think you've been right about
that part of it all along.
Because I heard something a week ago that backed you up. But man, all the national reporters who clearly don't have any better of a handle on this story than they have a worse handle on it than you do, my God, they all have their thesauruses out right now trying to find different ways to structure sentences and different words to use to say the same damn thing. Thank you, Josina. Thank you, Rap Sheet.
Time for hockey talk. Let's go out to the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service. Why are we bringing on the great Rob Rossi from The Athletic? Because the Penguins made a trade today that we're trying to figure out why, what it means. They sent the pick they got from the Blues in the Kevin Hayes deal back to the Blues with a fifth-round pick 2 years from now, and in return received a second-round pick 2 years from now and a third-round pick in next year's draft. Rob, why did this happen?
Did you guys ever, when you were younger, did you take your lunch to school with you or did you buy it there?
Oh, we just had a discussion about this off the air the other day. I was a cold lunch guy. I was a bagged lunch.
Yeah, I was a bagged lunch too. Except for Texas French toast when they would do breakfast for lunch, because I was a big fan of
that. And we had Italian Dunkers, which were just hot dog buns where they would melt cheese on them and then give you
marinara
sauce. Yes.
Right. So would you have items that you might trade with different friends?
Oh, of course. Your chocolate milk goes
Yes.
Now, Dunkaroos.
In this scenario, did you have certain friends that you might like to trade with, even if the trade wasn't necessarily great for you because you knew it was helping them out and they might scratch your back later on?
A quid pro quo, if you will.
Yes. This general manager in St. Louis and Kyle Dubas have that type of relationship. They've had that type of relationship back to the days in Toronto. There have been a lot of dealings between Doug Armstrong in St. Louis and Kyle Dubas when he was with the Maple Leafs, including with the Penguins. And the Blues offer-sheeted two players today with the Edmonton Oilers. To do that, they needed to get back the second-round pick that they had. And so,
and that's because if the other team passes on that offer sheet, you have to have your original second round pick
to trade them.
Yeah,
yes.
Compensatory.
Right.
Okay, for compensatory purposes.
So basically, the Penguins are getting a third round pick for giving that pick back to St. Louis. And
but all this talk about how this 2025 second round pick is more like a first round pick because this 2025 draft is loaded. Now all that talk goes out the window.
Yeah, that was always nonsense. I mean, it was just something you talk about. I mean,
I love when we have straight to the point, Rob. Don't you, Mulsey?
All that stuff was just basically BS. It was time filler. This is the real story.
I could go along with it, but here's the reality. If you're not picking in the top five, maybe seven in the NHL draft, it's all just a crapshoot. I mean, there is no significant value between like anything after, like I said, maybe seven to the fifth round. It just isn't. It doesn't matter how deep the draft is. Everybody's board is different, usually after the top five players, which is why you see teams wanting to get into that lottery and get into one of those top five selections. Oftentimes, it's sort of a toss up after the top three. When you hear any general manager, not just a general manager of the Penguins, any general manager or any scouting director or anybody with an organization talk about the depth of a draft and having some transient value beyond the first, second, or third round, or third overall pick, they are just flat out feeding you a line to make something digestible. Never believe it. Never believe somebody like me if we try to say it matters. It's all a load of crap.
Rob, then
how are you guys?
I honestly, I'm terrible because I'm just we're waiting out the Brandon Ayuk.
But you're better
saga.
Now because we're doing a detour from all that.
Yeah, I am better. Well, then here another just a left turn then to other matters. Since now that we've gotten to the bottom of the trade for picks, what is the latest you're hearing on a Sidney Crosby contract extension, and what do you think if there is an ability to put a timetable on it, that timetable would be for one getting done?
So I reported last week in The Athletic, and I don't have any information that's new since then, that things are very much where they were. I think the last time I was on with you guys, they're close. One of the hangups right now, I'm told by people with knowledge of the situation, is that Sidney Crosby is still trying to figure out how long he wants to play. The CBA that is in place right now makes it more difficult to do a contract for a player age 35 or older, because you can't manipulate that contract in a way that if that player would not see the end of that contract, you wouldn't pay a stiff penalty, depending on how that contract is structured. Because everybody in these discussions are in agreement, the Penguins want to keep Crosby. Crosby wants to stay in Pittsburgh. They kind of know where it's going to be. Now we're in a matter of how many years is this going to be for? Because of that, and because what I've been told is Sid just isn't sure if this is going to be a 3-year extension, a 4-year extension. He doesn't necessarily feel right now that he knows how long he wants to continue playing in the NHL, and he doesn't want to put the Penguins in a situation where they would have to structure this contract in an exorbitant way after the first or second season to avoid sort of a penalty if he decides, say, at age 40, I don't want to play anymore, but he's contractually obligated to through 2000 and, or through age 41, something like that. So I'm not worried. I have said, though, and I believe this, we're 30-some days away from training camp. If the first practice of training camp comes and goes without Crosby having an extension signed, then I'm going to start questioning a lot of what I've been told, because then it becomes something he's going to be asked about every day. And we're going to have to, we are officially in a situation where they are about to enter a season with Crosby looking at free agency, which has never happened before. We've never gotten close to that before.
Rob Rossi, read him in The Athletic. Good reporting there. Josh Yoey wrote a very angst-filled Crosby contract extension.
He's always been the angry one. I'm the happy-go-lucky one. I shoot straight. People just don't like me for it.
So we like getting Rob's spin on things. Hey, Rob, thank you.
Thank you,
talk again soon.
Take care, guys. Enjoy Brandon.
Yeah.